We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 185. We will have a Game 5, Scott, on Wednesday night. Thank God, because I would have felt cheated as hell had the Yankees lost it in Game 4. They played well tonight. They took advantage of some Cleveland mistakes. But just, they're getting it to Game 5, and at least I'm not feeling cheated at this point.
All the pressure, every single bit, an ounce of pressure is on Cleveland right now. The Yankees are playing loose. They're playing hot. They're playing comfortable. They're playing confident. I love it. I love what's the way it has set up with CeCe going. It's the guy I want, honestly. That's the guy I want in Cleveland where it all started for him.
How crazy is that?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
How crazy is that? At the start of 2017, you would be saying the guy I want on the mound in Game 5 of a playoff do-or-die series is CeCe Sabathia.
CeCe Sabathia has the largest testicles on this team. There's no doubt about it.
He's got the biggest. Showing some big ones tonight.
Severino is not in the running at all after what happened in the wild card game. He had complete redemption tonight. But I'm talking about large, huge nuts. And
old man,
there's CeCe Sabathia.
Nuts.
Absolutely. The dude feels no pain. That's him. He's going to Cleveland, where it all started, and he's going to relish the situation. This is what he lives for.
I thought Gary Sanchez had giant nuts.
Whatever.
Couldn't even fit him in a cup.
Stop bringing it back to the nuts. Sabathia is going to bring his big nuts out. He's got marbles. The you have no marbles chant in Cleveland means nothing to CeCe. It's going to be a beautiful game. All the pressure, again, is on Corey Kluber. Let's see if he can actually deliver, because the last time was a goose. Let's see if he can do it again. I'm confident. I like it. I like what's happening.
Yeah, we'll get into the Game 5 breakdown, but as far as pressure goes, you know, Sabathia does not feel that kind of pressure. He relishes that. He's going to have a huge smile on his face. He's going to be roaring like he was in Game 2. Hopefully, he's got his stuff going again. He worked out some kinks early in that game. He hadn't pitched in about a week, so he's going to be on normal days rest. Both him and Kluber on normal days rest. I expect Kluber to be a lot better than he was in Game 2 because can't expect Kluber to suck again. That's just unrealistic. So it's going to be a do-over from Game 2, but probably a pitcher's duel if things go the way I think they're going to go.
Yeah, I think also that the Yankees have seeing Kluber a second time obviously is helpful. The first time they hit him well. The other thing that's going to be good for this, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but my thoughts will go in and out of my head so fast, especially after tonight. I need to get them out into the microphone. The fact that they've seen Bauer twice and they've seen Carrasco and Kluber, all of these guys are junk ball pitchers. These guys all locate and have very good off-speed stuff. So they're throwing a lot of very similar type pitchers at us through this entire series. So it's not like the Yankees are going and just you know, going after a guy like Severino that you mix that in the middle of these guys. They're all very similar style pitchers. I like that. The Yankees are building a confidence level, I think, with, you know, hitting the off-speed pitch or laying off the off-speed pitch and sitting on the balls that they want. So I really like what's happening.
As I said at the start, the Yankees took advantage of sloppy play by Cleveland. 6 unearned runs for Cleveland. Very uncharacteristic. 4 errors. The Yankees took advantage of it. Hell, they could have had 10 runs in that game if they had just scratched a few more base runners in the third and fourth innings. But they knocked Trevor Bauer out early in that game. Bauer was talking about how he loves 3 days rest. It doesn't affect him. Bullshit. It affects every starting pitcher. Like we said last night on the podcast, and like we've said on a number of different podcasts, hell, we're doing podcasts every damn day at this point. I'm just mixed up on what's going on and what I'm saying when I'm saying it. But Severino looking for vengeance versus Trevor Bauer on short day's rest was a great matchup for the Yankees, and that's what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night when we were recording, we actually thought it was still Tomlin that was going to be going today because, I don't know, we recorded right after the game yesterday, and I thought at the end of it they had said Tomlin. Anyway, we've been freaking delirious, like you've said, by doing these shows every single day, very late night. But yeah, you know, this was Severino's big opportunity to get his redemption, and that's exactly what he did. You know, I think getting that first inning under his belt, coming out going 1-2-3, a clean first inning, was so massive for his confidence and really just to kind of dictate how the day was going to go. Because you knew if he got out of that first inning, got that elephant off of his shoulder, got all that crap gone, that he was going to settle into this game and pitch well.
It was a great step forward for Severino. And I wouldn't even say this was the best Severino we've seen. This was like B-plus Severino. He had moments in that game where he lost it. He lost command a little bit. He left some fastballs up and some sliders up. And the Indians hitters took him deep twice. But he still was grinding it out. The sixth and seventh innings were awesome. I loved, absolutely loved, loved, loved that Joe Girardi let him go back out there and grind through that seventh inning, throwing 100-mile-an-hour darts to finish off the game. Final line, seven innings, three runs, four hits, nine strikeouts. But the fact that he ended on such a high note, he was fired up. Angry Severino is now my new favorite Severino.
Yeah, he was really good. Even in that last inning when he was missing and Kipnis laid off a couple of really, really tough pitches, I thought even the balls that he was throwing that weren't called strikes were actually very, very good pitches that he was executing really well in the seventh inning. You could tell he was overthrowing the fastball a little bit, but he came back and threw some of the off speed and was locating it really nicely. So I thought all around it was a really good performance. I mean, B+, I think he was better than B+. I mean, that's a high leverage situation against probably the best team in baseball. And yeah, you let up a couple home runs, but you know what? They didn't hurt you in the situation. So I thought he was very good, and I thought he made adjustments when he needed to make adjustments, and he pitched to this team, and I thought he did a phenomenal job, especially coming back from what he did in the wild card game. So a lot of pressure was on him.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was such an important game for him, because I would have been really upset if he had to sit on an entire offseason and an entire season of baseball just waiting for another playoff start to come around. It would have been a thing, and now it's no longer a thing. We know Severino can pitch in October. You don't want the whole he's not a big game pitcher, the whole David Price shit that he has to deal with. And look how he has not been able to handle that. Yeah, he may be able to come out in the bullpen and pitch well for the Red Sox, but he can't start a game. Wasn't able to start a game with the Blue Jays or the Tigers or when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. He always sucked in the playoffs, and I did not want that to have to be a thing with Severino.
Oh, and by the way, the Red Sox are out of the playoffs.
Gone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Guess it didn't work out so well winning the AL East. Didn't work out so well.
Not that we would have been happy with this, but no matter what had happened tonight, the Yankees would have won one more game than the Red Sox in the playoffs, yeah. If you do consider that wild card game a playoff game.
They ran into a very, 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 very hot Houston Astros team who looks like they're peaking at the right time. That's a tough team right now.
That's another team to worry about for another day.
Another day. But yes, the boys came out and just played their asses off today, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. The stadium was on freaking fire again. I mean, you got to give it up for every single, it seems like every single inning, every single game in the playoffs so far this year, Yankee Stadium has come and just been alive. And the players are talking about it. Girardi's talking about it. Everybody's talking about Yankee Stadium and how just explosive it is right now. So that's such a good sign.
I was a little annoyed by
Don't bring me down.
I'm not bringing you
down. Don't bring
me
down.
The Jay Bruce sucks chant were funny in the first inning. On TV, it sounded like a Yankee suck chant. And I was like, damn, are there really that many Indians fans there? But it was a Jay Bruce sucks chant. And I'm just thinking it was going on a little bit too long in the game. Can we just chant for the Yankees at that point? They're winning 7-3. Enough with the Jay Bruce sucks stuff. He's been murder on you this series. Let it go.
Yeah, guess what? They got it in his head. He struck out a whole bunch of times and did absolutely jack shit today. So if it worked today, I say keep doing it. It worked, obviously. It was in his head. Why not?
That's why he struck out. Had nothing to do with Severino throwing 100-mile-an-hour darts.
No, maybe Severino was getting jacked up like, yeah, this dude has killed us. He does suck. Let me prove that he sucks. I like it. I like that they get on people. It's like whenever they do that in hockey games, college hockey games, that they just destroy the opposing goaltenders.
Opposing goaltender's mother's name or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that. I love that shit. I could care less. I love it when an opponent comes in to your house and he just gets riled. He just gets just completely destroyed and heckled the entire game. I think it's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful thing.
One of the biggest innings I thought for Severino was the quick shutdown inning in the third after the Yankees got four runs for him. I thought that was huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think at every point when he came back and just when there was a momentum, when there was momentum happening in the game and the flow of the game was going towards the direction of the Yankees, Severino didn't ever have a hiccup. It seems like it was never a momentum swinging hiccup. You could feel it in the first little bit, when the Yankees bats kind of went quiet, seemed like things were starting to swing a little bit. Cleveland scored a couple runs, but then they came right back out. And the given times when Severino needed to shut down an inning or a guy, he did. And I mean, just everything about what he did tonight was phenomenal.
Playoff baseball, it's late, so you feeling a little bit tired?
I'm not right this very second, but I will be crashing and burning as soon as I get off. And yes, I was a little tired towards the end of it.
Yeah, everyone's a little bit tired in October baseball. That's why you're going to need a Sleep Number bed. And to be honest, they are the best bed to sleep on. You start your day off right with a Sleep Number bed. It's affordable, and you deserve better than just a mediocre night's sleep. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort and support on each side. It's the perfect bed for couples as well. The newest beds are so smart, they actually sense your every move and automatically adjust so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. That is sounding like an advanced bed that might start reading your thoughts or something. They even have an adjustment for snoring. So if you snore, that's good because the bed will prevent you from snoring, apparently. Sleep Number beds cost about the same as traditional mattresses, last twice as long, and 91% of owners recommend it. Best of all, right now, Queen mattresses start at only $699.99, which is an awesome price. You'll only find Sleep Number beds at any of their 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. So if you go into one of those stores, find them on sleepnumber.com, and you can mention that Bronx Pinstripes sent you. Okay. So the offense was not asleep tonight, though. Todd Frazier got scoring off with a 2 RBI single, and that was huge because they never let Bauer settle in. His curveball was not as sharp as it was in game one. His fastball wasn't locating. He was not getting that call that was that running back two-seamer that he was getting in game one.
He started to get it in the second inning. He wasn't getting into the first, started to get it in the second, but then they started hitting the shit out of him, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, and I know that first error by Castro when he smoked that ball to third base was an error, but I'm counting that as a base hit because he hit the shit out of that ball. And they took it from there. Frazier with the RBI. He's having a good series. That put him at 4-for-12 at the time. Hicks, 2-out RBI single, and then Judge got the monkey off his back. 2 RBI single, makes it 4-0. 2 RBI double, excuse me. The stadium erupted. And yeah, Judge had struck out 9 times in 11 at-bats coming into that, and then he struck out four more times after that. But it was huge for him to get that hit. He showed emotion again, got on second base, smiling ear to ear, doing the thumbs down again back into the dugout. So it was just an awesome sequence.
It was an awesome sequence. And talking about Judge's strikeouts, look, we talked about this before. I mean, he was due for this big hit, and I'm really glad he got it because I feel like those types of situations can really make you loose for the next time up. You're not pressing as much, saying, oh, I got to get this hit in a situation that you haven't gotten one. Well, he's gotten one now, so I feel like he can go in a little bit more loose in the next at-bat in a big situation. But the other thing is he's had 4 walks before this game, too. He's been getting on base. Even when Judge was struggling terribly during the middle of the season, he was still getting on base by walks. His on-base percentage was still up there. So the guy, even when he struggles and doesn't make a lot of contact, and you see the batting average start slipping down, you still see the batting or the on-base percentage up because the walks are there. That being said, those strikeouts, 2 of them tonight, of the 4, were trash strikeouts that should never have been strikeouts. Both of them should have been walks. So I don't want him swinging at the pitches that he got called struck out on. They were not strikes. And honestly, like those are balls that he's supposed to lay off of because that's where he's good when he's laying off those pitches that are out of the strike zone, borderline, but out of the strike zone. Those are not the ones he needs to swing. So I'm fine with him not swinging at those pitches and striking out looking.
You're absolutely right that the strike zone was trash for him. But I thought he had one. He struck out 4 times, and I thought one of them that was bad and that I was actually pissed off at. He came up after the double, had bases loaded. There were 2 outs, and it was a 3-2 pitch on him. And he's taking a ball that's at the knees, low in the zone. Yeah, it could have been a ball. It could have been a strike. But I just don't like him taking in that situation. He needs to be in swing mode there. It's a 5-0 game at that point. The Indians are not going to pitch a right. They're not going to throw him a slider in that situation. They're going to attack him. They can't just walk in another run. So yeah, even though it's Aaron Judge, even though he could hit a grand slam, they were still in attack mode in that situation, and Judge was in passive mode, and I didn't like that at that point.
He's not in passive mode. See, that weren't you just talking about this on how if he's swinging at these balls at the bottom of the strike zone like that, he's not going to do a damn thing with them anyway? Like, you've got to be a disciplined hitter and have the disciplined eye at any situation. I mean, a huge bases-loaded walk is just as big as a hit. And if he's identifying that ball as a ball, then, you know, look at it. If that's what you're seeing, I mean, the guy's got a good eye when he's on and he's disciplined and he's going the other way. He's proved that he has a good eye. So I got no problem with him taking that ball. I don't want him, you know, going out of his comfort zone and going out of what he's normally doing and chasing balls that he shouldn't be swinging at. I just don't want that, because to me that can lead to bigger problems.
His double did knock Bauer out of the game though, which was huge at the time. Girardi kind of shuffled around the lineup, put Didi in between Judge and Sanchez, which I really liked, breaking up the two righties. And then that also allowed him to move Bird up in the order to the number five hole. Bird has been on fire all series, had the huge home run in game three. So I liked the lineup changes that Girardi made at the top of the order.
Yeah, and they weren't huge drastic changes, but they kind of went to the way that Girardi really likes to have the lineup in the first place, is to have the, you know, alternating righty lefties. It also, Didi had been struggling a little bit, so it gave him some protection by sandwiching in between Judge and Sanchez. And he walked three times, which is ironic because you'd think that they'd go after him. But Sanchez was the guy that they really were going after, and they had success until Sanchez until he went to right field with that home run. But yeah, I mean, I like the move. I like doing that with a struggling guy. And Girardi's done that a few times during the season with Sanchez and Judge as well. Just kind of mixing those two guys around to add some protection before and after the batter to help them get more strikes. I mean, that's kind of the concept of it. So I like it. And the fact that they have so many good hitters on this team is you can really do that, which also, you know, can put long slumps really, really try to cut them down because you can do that type of thing. So I like the move. Obviously it worked. You scored a lot of runs, left a lot of guys on base today, but scored a lot of runs.
I would roll with the same top of the order for game five against Kluber. The only thing I would do differently is I think you have to think about putting Matt Holliday at the DH spot, because Ellsbury and Headley have looked terrible. Neither of them have hits. They've each started two games in this series. I know Holiday's been off. He has not even had a pinch hitting appearance in the playoffs. And throwing him up there in game five against Kluber might be a colossal mistake. He might be completely overmatched. But I have no confidence in either Ellsbury or Headley right now at DH.
I mean, I don't really care. Ellsbury sits 100%. It's between Headley and Holiday. You know, maybe Holiday's not playing for a reason, but he's on the roster. So, I mean, obviously they think he's healthy enough to get in there and play. So, I don't know what his numbers are against Kluber. I still would go Headley. I still think Headley gives you the best option at that place. At that time, even though he has struggled, I still think you can get good at-bats out of him. But Holliday, I wouldn't be too concerned about him not playing. You know, he's obviously taking swings in the cage and things like that. But the guy is a vet in a big moment. I mean, you rely on what you've done, and it's not a big moment. It's not too big of a moment for him. I mean, the guy's played in the World Series before. So I'm fine with either one of those guys. I don't know what their numbers are in front of me. I don't have them in front of me. But I assume Girardi will go with the guy that has the better numbers. The other thing is that Headley, we know, is an attractive option off the bench. Joe likes that. And in a game five situation where you're going to be doing probably a lot more moves, making switches, that might be something that he's going to look at, having Headley come off the bench. So he has options with Frazier and at first base if a pinch running situation were to come up.
Well, Ellsbury started against Kluber in game two.
Yeah, how did he do?
No hits.
Yeah,
he surprise, sucked. Surprise.
He needs to be a pitch runner. I mean, honestly, that's literally his best value right now. It's a true story. That's his best value.
Yeah, yeah. It's an expensive pinch runner, but he's fast. So there we go. The Yankees were aggressive in this game once they had the lead, which was good. Gardner sack fly, which was too shallow center field. I mean, Kipnis has no arm. He's got a Johnny Damon, Bernie Williams type arm. The Yankees took advantage of it. They ran on his arm. I thought that was a great send by Thompson, the third base coach,
Espada.
In that situation. Espada. Thompson's the what? The
It used to be.
Yeah. I'm going crazy. I thought it was a great send because when you have the lead, you push the envelope there. If it's a tie game or if you're down a run, you probably don't send him there. But with the lead, awesome send.
Yeah, and I don't know if Kipnis is, I mean, obviously he's not a natural center fielder to the extent that he's been playing second base his entire professional career. But the way that he approached that ball as well, I mean, he was not ready to throw home. He kind of parked underneath it and then loaded up to throw. His body and momentum were not behind the ball, so he had nothing going through that ball, nothing going through the throw. And obviously he doesn't have a great arm, so I thought it was a good send too. They definitely caught him off guard.
What the hell was going on with Betances when he came in that game? Everything was going to plan. Severino, the seven strong innings, figured, okay, let's get Betances the eighth inning. He's looked good his first two appearances in this series. Dude couldn't even throw it to Gary Sanchez. He was throwing it back to the backstop.
Yeah, I legitimately thought he was going to kill somebody at that point. I don't know, man. That's bad. That's real bad. First of all, that's it for him, right? I mean, you're done, dude.
He's the last one out of the bullpen on 100%. On Wednesday.
You can't trust him ever now. It's like that was you were just went twice. You did well. There was the reason I liked bringing him in the eighth. I agreed with Girardi on that actually because of the 4-run lead. He had been good twice. Why not show some confidence in him? Because if you can get him going right, then that's another significant weapon. But man, he's just a basket case. I don't know what his problem is. The situation, there's nothing about that situation that leads you to believe that there's too much of a pressure situation or what. I mean, you're at home with a 4-run lead. The momentum's on your side. You've had two good outings. Just go throw some fucking strikes. He can't, he can't do it.
It's pitch one. You know, on pitch one, if Betances is good or bad, it's extremely, it's extremely scary and it's a helpless feeling sitting here on your couch watching Dellin Betances throw that ball back to the backstop when it's nowhere close to the strike zone. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on with him. He is destroying any value he has to the Yankees in a trade at this point because any team that's going to want to trade for him will say, well, he was terrible. You didn't even use him in key spots in the postseason. You have all these other big weapons in the bullpen. You can basically afford to lose him. So here's 50 cents on the dollar for Dellin Betances, where he was your most valuable reliever prior to this season. So It's really terrible. I mean, it's another discussion for later down the road in the offseason. But as, like you said, as far as game five on Wednesday night, no thanks. Dellin Betances, you might as well just stay in New York, not even pack your bags.
Yeah, he's not getting in the game unless he's the last guy out there and they absolutely need him. But yeah, it's between the ears. There's no doubt about it. There's just something going on with this dude where he can't mentally commit to an outing on a consistent basis. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's preparation. I don't know if it's he just gets his own head. If he just starts, it's like when you're running and you start thinking about your mechanic, you're like thinking about your strides, like you'll never go very far ever because you're screwed by thinking about that stuff. It's like he thinks about everything he's doing the entire time he's out there. And the old cliche when you're in Little League, come on, Johnny, don't just throw the ball. Don't aim it. I mean, it's literally like he's aiming the ball. Like he's freaking 7 years old and someone's yelling at him, like Larry Rothschild yelling, don't aim the ball. It's pathetic. It's weird.
Well, I thought it was my righty lefty theory because he started off and he walked to the first batter. It was a right handed batter. And then he comes in and does the same thing to Lindor, almost hits him. So there goes my theory.
Yeah. I mean, he's erratic everywhere. It doesn't matter who the hell's up. There could be nobody up there. I don't know what's he doing in warm up pitches. I haven't seen, but they don't have the camera on, but I wouldn't be surprised if a few of them hit the backstop.
You said that it's 100% between the ears. Are you positive? Positive it's nothing physical?
Yeah, no, it's nothing physical. He's a mental case. There's nothing physical. What's wrong? What would be wrong with him? Nothing's wrong with him.
I don't know. I'm trying to spitball because
there's nothing wrong with him. If he was injured, bad. He wouldn't be playing. He wouldn't even be on the roster if he was injured. He's a freaking psychopath. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know how you dominate that bat like that dramatically. You come out and you're just as filthy as you are. And all you have to do, literally, like the key to his success is literally just throwing a ball over the plate. I mean, that's it. You have two pitches. Throw the one that goes straight over the plate. I mean, it's how difficult is that? Yeah.
It's such a luxury for him. And guys who could throw that fast with that kind of movement on his breaking pitches, it's just throw it something that looks like a strike and you're going to get swings and misses.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's like seeing a 7-footer that can't shoot. I mean, come on. All you got to do your entire life, just shoot the ball. That's it.
Right.
Just figure it out.
The guys that grind out and have to learn how to locate like the Greg Maddux of the world.
Yeah,
the Greg Maddux of the world who need to spot 87 miles an hour on the corner or else they're screwed. Just look at Betances and say, man, what I would do with your stuff.
Yeah, where guys are working their asses off to get to these points. And you're just, you know, God-given ability. You're a monster of 6'8". You can throw the ball. You can you throw 100 miles an hour. And you don't even have to try for this curveball. This curveball feels like a natural pitch to you. But you can't throw the ball straight? It's crazy town. I don't get it.
Betances almost ruined the night. Tommy Canley deserves a lot of credit for coming in. Not only did he clean up Betances' mess, but he also saved Chapman. Chapman was going to be available tonight. I think the only person in the bullpen not available was Robertson. Before the game, Girardi said he would like to avoid using Robertson. So basically that means unless we're in a situation in the 18th inning and we need a guy coming out, it's going to be Robertson. But so Chapman was available even though he threw two innings the previous night. And two innings in game two. But Canley, him dominating, allowed them to save Chapman, and that's going to be very, very underrated as we go ahead to game five.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Canley looked really, really good. It's like he, I don't know, he had a bit of a rough patch in the middle or towards the end of the season.
September.
Yeah, September wasn't great for him. And before that, obviously we know what he was when he was with the White Sox. The guy was one of the more dominant, underappreciated relievers in the league. I mean, he had some ridiculous strikeout to walk ratio, and it seemed like he had kind of lost it. But now, honestly, like the guy looks totally, he's throwing high 90s, just painting the black, looking really, really good, really confident, pumped up. Like that's a guy that you kind of look like. You see the way he goes out there, you see his demeanor coming in with two runners on, no outs. And gets out of it with no issues and then comes back and throws in the ninth. I love it. I love it a lot. I think the dude pitched phenomenally.
So let's start to look ahead to game five. CC versus Kluber. CC probably going for the same sort of thing in the first game that he pitched. Get us into the fifth, get us into the sixth inning. Hopefully the bullpen doesn't puke all over itself and Girardi doesn't make a boneheaded non-challenge play. But then you have Green who's fully rested. You have Robertson who will be fully rested and Chapman who will be fully rested. Warren as well, who I thought maybe they would use Warren in the ninth inning today, didn't need him. Canley will still be available, but he did pitch tonight, so maybe he's just available for a couple batters or an inning. But you have most of your bullpen fully rested. And same thing on the Cleveland side. Even though Allen pitched tonight, Andrew Miller did not pitch.
Yeah, Andrew Miller didn't pitch. Allen pitched, and it seemed like, from what they were saying, he was just trying to get some work in. I don't like that move if I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. If I'm, I don't really, I mean, I get you need to get some work, but man, I don't like showing these guys anything that you're doing, whether it's maybe you're not throwing the pitches that you normally would throw to them at that given situation, but still they're able to pick you up. They're able to time you. They're able to do things that they wouldn't be able to do if they didn't see you again, another time. So whatever. I'm glad he did.
You're getting your pitcher work. If he needs work is more important than trying to hide something from the opponent.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like you could still get work on the side. You could still throw at that point in this season, you shouldn't have to throw him out there just to get some work in a playoff game. I mean, to me, that's ludicrous. I mean, you can get work on the side. Dude doesn't need to come into the game for that. I thought it was, I don't know, maybe, I hope it'll bite him in the ass. I really do. But I like that they were able to at least get some more eyes on his pitches. I mean, and release point, anything, little things you can pick up from running him out there. I thought it was too high of a leverage situation to do that, but I'm glad he did. So that's good. No, and you're right, but they have Miller is ready to go, and obviously they're trying to get length from Corey Kluber.
But let's talk about Miller, because he has not looked like Andrew Miller in this series. I thought he looked bad in the first game. And then the second game, he didn't pitch a lot, but what did he get? Greg Bird in the second game? Greg Bird was in the first game.
Greg Bird hit a bomb off of him in the second game. or in game three?
In the third game. But he struck out Bird, I think, in game one, but the Yankees made him work. He comes back, pitches game two, still doesn't look great. Game three, Bird takes him to the moon. So I haven't, although I think the Indians still have a lot of confidence in Andrew Miller, he's not the automatic Andrew Miller machine that he was the entire postseason last year.
Yeah, and what was the injury that he had? It was a knee injury, I think he had this season. It was late in the season. It was
He was on the DL two separate times, but I believe the most recent one, yeah, was a knee.
Yeah, so it was, I'm looking it up right now, it was a patellar tendonitis in his right knee, and that was on Miller return from the bullpen. He came back, what, September 14th? So
he missed most of their big winning streak.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's been on the shelf a little bit. So, I mean, that is a guy that I will absolutely question to see if he's 100% healthy. He probably isn't. You're on the shelf for that long with something like that. You know, chances are that there's something lingering at this point, and they just needed to get him back. So that could be a thing. I mean, it's very clear that something's going on, that he's not. He doesn't have the same bite on the ball that he normally does. It's like that the action on that slider is not the same as it normally is. It's not this big sweeping breaking ball that's just devastating. So this is all good stuff. You know what I mean? Like, these are all good things.
Well, the bottom line is, Andrew Miller come in is not still good stuff for the Yankees.
No, 100% it's not.
It's not worst case scenario like it was last year.
Exactly. It's a minor small win before he even gets out there is what I'm saying. But again, they have seen him quite a bit this series. So nothing is going to be a shock going into game five. It's pretty much everybody has seen everybody at this point, and the Yankees have seen what the Indians are going to throw at them. And, you know, if we're looking at the two offenses with Edwin Encarnacion not playing, and there's no indication that he's going to be playing game five, they haven't ruled him out, but there's no indication that he's coming back. We haven't seen him at all since that injury. That's a huge bat missing out of the Cleveland Indians lineup. And the Yankees right now have a better offensive team. So I think in that particular case, it's, you know, an advantage for the Yankees. But you never know. Corey Kluber could come out and be Cy Young Corey Kluber and just dominate. So that's an X. He's obviously the X factor.
Because Sabathia's a lefty, I think they're going to do everything they can to get Encarnacion on the field. All of the cortisone in Cleveland is going to be injected into that guy's ankle.
Fine. You know, hobble out there.
He's not going to be able to feel from his knee down.
As long as he doesn't pull a Kirk Gibson type situation and win a game trotting around.
Right.
Like Kirk Gibson did in the World Series. What was that, 1988?
88.
Yeah.
Brantley has not looked good in Encarnacion's place. So despite the fact that Encarnacion is on 1 foot at this point, I still rather see Brantley in there because Edwin Encarnacion has murdered the Yankees for 10 years, it seems.
Yeah, and Brantley got his first hit today, squared up a ball. So, you know, but he hasn't looked good. I mean, he's a shell of himself as well. And you gotta believe all the injuries have to play with that because he's been hurt for quite a while. I mean, he missed all of the postseason last year, a majority of the season, right? Because he was injured.
Yeah.
And then he was injured again this year. So the guy's obviously a risk and probably not playing at 100% either. So, you know, the Indians are banged up right now. There's no doubt about it. They're banged up.
They're not playing their best baseball.
No, and their bullpen right now, granted they do have Andrew Miller coming back that didn't pitch tonight, another day rest tomorrow, and then Kluber going. They have some of their bullpen, but they use a lot of the guys today too. You know, it was a big day for the Yankees, not only to knock Bauer out early, but to get into that bullpen and to just put a little bit of hurting on it. Just so that, because those runs, the fact that these guys got in the game today could very well come back and bite them in the ass late in the game on Wednesday. And the Yankees will be ready for it. You know what I mean? Like, that, this is a team you can't make a lot of mistakes for. They're dangerous 1 through 9.
When Francona set up his pitching rotation so Kluber would pitch game 2 and 5, I don't think any part of him thought he'd be here in a game 5 do or die.
No, I don't, and especially not the way that it happened.
Right.
Certainly not the way it happened. Certainly not with Kluber almost losing in game 2, coming back, and then them losing both games at home or in the Bronx. But look, it's set up nicely for the way that the Yankees did it. You know, as bad as everybody has destroyed Joe Girardi for that Friday night, you got to look at the series as a whole. Like, throw away that one decision. I know it's hard to do that. But if you look at the rest of it, honestly, he's done a very nice job. It seems like that day, he was bad. He made a bad decision on that, obviously, by not challenging. He made bad decisions on on some of the guys going in and out. It was a bad day for him. It was a horrible day.
Worst day as Yankee manager.
But game three, he pulled all the right strings. Tonight, pulled all the right strings. Even Betances,
leaving Severino out there,
even putting Betances and giving him the quick hook. I mean, I wasn't upset that he was going out there. Like, I thought that was a fine move. I guarantee, I know some people are like, why was he in the game in the first place? And rightfully so. I mean, I understand it.
No, I didn't think that.
I think some people do, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that have zero confidence in him, even after he showed that he pitched twice, that he pitched pretty well twice. There's a lot of people that have zero confidence in them, and I get that. I mean, he really hasn't done enough to prove, you know, that he's a confident guy for anybody. But I thought he did a good job today. I thought he did a real good job. Again, the lineup changes, there were good things going on. So, you know, good bounce back from Drury.
Pressure on the Indians, like you said, because they are expected to win the World Series, and now they're playing an elimination game versus the Yankees, who were not expected to do shit, and now they're playing their fourth elimination game of the playoffs so far.
So are you just happy to be here?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is the Yankees are actually in a spot where they can have a little swagger to them.
Yeah.
They have the Indians on their heels right now. Baseball playoffs are about momentum. And somehow the Yankees recovered from that game two debacle where Cleveland had all the momentum and regained it all in the Bronx. And we're going into Cleveland with momentum.
Yeah, it's crazy how bad situations can turn into very good situations if you can recover. Because if you can recover from a horrible situation in one that nobody ever thinks that you can recover from, but then all of a sudden you're digging yourself out and you can actually see above the your head is above water slightly, then you're in a position of like, damn, I can't believe I'm breathing right now. Might as well go for it. And that's what they're doing. It seems like they're going to go into Cleveland loose. They're going to go in confident. And they've already touched up Kluber one time. Why can't they do it twice? Maybe they'll win.
Shock the world, baby.
Let's do it. I think it's a great time to shock the world. Cleveland's already had one title too many in the last 2 years with Braun, who's a Yankees fan. So let's just take it out of there. You know, Cleveland, you're good. You've gotten your quota for like the next 50 years. Yeah. Browns aren't going to ever do anything, so you're fine. This is it.
Yankees fans have suffered for almost a decade. That's
way
long
too
enough.
Long. Way too long. We are way too good to suffer for that long. It's terrible.
Pretty much my whole 20s. That's unacceptable.
Unacceptable. What a joke.
We've got some voicemails. What are these voicemails? After this, there's going to be some Greg Bird voicemails, some Game 4, extending it to Game 5 voicemails. People are fired up in the Bronx, so I'm looking forward to hearing those. The Game 2 voicemails were excellent. Shout out to the guy who wasn't even a Yankees fan, but apparently Joe Girardi is ruining his marriage. That was absolute gold.
Yeah. No, these are a combination of Game 3, Game 4 voicemails. And there's a lot of them. I know that the phone has been ringing even since we have been talking. It has. I think there were four voicemails since we were recording just now. So it's going off.
It's awesome. Everyone go stock up on some Tums because you're going to have some heartburn on Wednesday night for game five. Any last words, Scott?
I'm just so pumped up. I mean, the fact that we have another do or die situation. I mean, why not? Right? Why the hell not?
Dude, it's old hat at this point. Do or die, lose or go home.
Live for it. This is
Yankees
nothing.
Are used to this shit now.
I piss on these do or go home. It's perfect. I love it. It's going to be a great night. Wednesday night is going to be a great night. Let's all get pumped
start.
Up.
Oh, 8 o'clock start
that
Wednesday
sucks.
Night.
That's annoying.
Bad news for us.
That's annoying.
Especially because I have a flight early the next morning. So it's going to be fun.
All right. Well, here we go. Game 5. This is what it's all about.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
So it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the day after the disaster, and I have a minute to calm the call and just say, fuck you, Joe, you fucking moron! Joe is a play at the end of the inning! What the fuck? Last night was a joke. This season was awesome. Let's go Yankees. Next year we win that ring without Joe.
What's up, guys? I've been listening to the pod, and
a lot of things that happened in the game. Ferrari royally fucked up, you know, not challenging that. Made some pitching decisions that were a little shaky, but you guys probably didn't need to think about it. We didn't have time to talk about this Chapman Instagram thing. Chapman is the last person that should be criticizing Girardi, because when he was struggling and couldn't strike out anyone, giving up home runs left and right, Girardi had his back.
Well, Joe overmanaged again. Just lucky that Chapman can get that last man out. He should have left Tanaka in for at least one more batter. D-Rob could have finished that inning. Instead, he had to overmanage. Thank goodness his poor management didn't cost us this game. Go Yankees, we'll be here tomorrow night.
Masahiro Tanaka stepping up, showing some ball, starting up tonight, not allowing a run, was huge. Let's go. Severino next game, then game 5, game 6, yes.
Woo! Oh yeah, so excited. Can't wait. We got this. I mean, now that we got that game tomorrow, Savvy has got this game. I'm feeling excited. We got this. Go Yanks.
Oh, Yankees! DJ Mo Suave called from the 916, baby. Game 5. CC on the mound. Kluber about to get lit up. Let's go, boys. If we win this game, punch our tickets to the motherfucking World Series. We're going all the way. Right now, Houston don't stand a chance. We win Game 5 in Cleveland. It's a wrap. Chalk it up. Number 28 in the house. Let's go, boys!
An Amber Alert has been issued for Dellin Betances. He was last seen several weeks ago pitching for the New York Yankees. He's 6 feet, 8 inches tall. If you see or hear from him anywhere, please beg him to return to the Yankees team facilities. On a side note, I think Randy Levine is probably enjoying this way too much.
Yo, it's Michael in Nashville. What a difference a couple of days make. Yankees are looking strong. Sevy's pitching great at home. If Girardi has any sense, starting game 5, we'll go with CC. We'll look good. He'll kill the Indians in Cleveland. And then we got to make sure Sevy pitches in New York, because there's no way on earth I'd put him anywhere near the opposing team's the other team's stadium. That would be absolutely insane.
Hey guys, Dave from Philly. Top of the 8th right now. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't need Dellin on this team anymore. They can try to trade him this offseason for all I care and try to get some prospects out of him. Go Yanks.
You idiot Yankees fan booing the Kansas saying he's overpaid. That dude's carried the team for the past 2 years. He's struggling. That's it. But guess what? You're going to leave New York and you're going to regret it. Fucking idiots.
Will Perry from Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio State University. Just calling it because the Yankees game just started. I just ran back to my room because I just got done with a 2-hour exam in 45 minutes. And I'm probably not going to get an A or a B. Maybe not even a C in the class, but it's worth it because it's Yankees baseball time. I'm trying to see Sevy strike out the side in all 9 innings. Let's fucking go.
Wow, let's go Yankees. Aaron Judge coming through. 2 out, 2 on. Just a little double, no big deal. Let's keep it up. Severino, you look like a G right now. Keep it up. Let's go Yankees, all the way from California. Here we go, baby.
Woo! Let's go Yankees. This is at EEFFL on Twitter, baby. Let's go Yankees.
Up by 5 runs, and yet I still don't feel comfortable. Thanks a lot, Girardi.
Let's go, Yankees!
Trevor. Greg from Florida, 2-2, going to game 5. Go, Yanks, let's do this. And can we also talk about Mariano throwing the first pitch? That was awesome. And hell, did that thing have some cut or what? He still got it. Go, Yanks!
Man, what a performance from both Masahiro Tanaka and Severino. You know, Masahiro needed to make up for horrible performance back in 2015 in the wild card game. And Severino needed to make up for the wild card game this year. And both came through. And
5 from Crazy. DC Pigeon from Crazy that tweet. Hopefully that can pull it out. I'm so grateful for the Houston Astros. Sorry ass team in Boston. Stay Boston, grateful for the people. Hopefully the Yankees can pull it off.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.